Right, sorry for our late beginning. In our previous class, we already touched on verse 99. We talked about learning from our enemies, and then we talked about learning, being wiser than enemies, and then we talked about learning from everybody. But the truth is we didn't really do it exhaustively at all. And so, in today's class, we're going to return to verse 99, and that will be our focus. Just give me a minute. Almost there.
Can David do any teaching of Torah, or he just followed and...
King David...
He was never a teacher of...
He didn't write. He was a teacher of Torah, King David. He didn't write a book of Torah.
No, but the Psalms he wrote.
He wrote the Psalms. He arranged the Psalms.
But he actually spoke and taught.
Yes, yeah.
He had students.
Yeah, he was the chief justice.
He put all this into his day of ruling.
That was what was so remarkable about David HaMelech, that he had all this... a very busy schedule, and somehow he managed to succeed at learning anyway. He is one of the most remarkable people in history, yes? Okay, so verse 99. David HaMelech says, as we continue our study of the verses of the letter Mem, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti. From all of my teachers, I became wise. Ki Edvoisecha Sicholi, because your testimonies were conversation for me. So this verse requires a significant amount of elucidation. First of all, David HaMelech became wise from his teachers. And who else do you become wise from, if not your teachers? That's number one. Number two, what's the key? Because I became wise from my teachers. If you asked me to finish that sentence, I would say I became wise from my teachers because I sat in class and I listened. Because I learned from them. I became wise from my teachers because your testimonies were my conversation. Well, your testimonies were my conversation. Maybe that's outside of the teaching. That's something in addition to the teachers. That's not why you became wise from your teachers. And indeed, there is a school of thought, and I will show it to you soon in the Rishonim, that say, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti does not mean I became wise from my teachers, but rather I became wiser than my teachers. Because Edvisecha Sicholi. But let's take a look first and see what Rashi has to say. And the Mitzudas who develops Rashi's approach. And then I think we're going to go off to a Mishnah, because there's actually a Mishnah that focuses on this verse. Rashi says, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti. From all my teachers I became wise. So in Rashi's view, verse 99 is a continuation of verse 98, which is why in the previous class we kind of made a conjunction between the two. And Rashi talks about the idea of the mysteries of Torah, or the secret or essence of Torah, and he says, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti, from all of my teachers I learned. What does this mean? Mizeh Lomadati Ktsas, from this teacher I learned a little. Umizeh, from the other teacher, Lomadati Ktsas, I learned a little. And in the parentheses, the addition is, La'achar Shalomadati Mirabei Muvak, after I learned from my primary Torah teacher. The Mitzudas David says, Mikulam kibalti haskel. From all of my teachers I received wisdom. Ki, because al yedei kulam hoya diburai be'edveisecha. Because with all of them I had conversation. And by having conversation, hivanti dover mitoch dover. I was able to understand things that are more than what meets the eye, more than in the surface. So sometimes you hear something, and that triggers your mind. And then you start thinking deeper. And you understand dover, you understand something. Mitoich dover, from one thing, it leads you to understanding yet another thing. And there's a domino effect in the development of wisdom. In other words, what is Rashi saying here? There is an implicit question in this verse. And the implicit question is that we have a Mishnah that precedes the Mishnah we're going to talk about today. It's already in the beginning of the first chapter. It says, Asei lecha rav. Make yourself one teacher. It doesn't say make yourself multiple teachers. Have a teacher. Have a mentor. And here David HaMelech says, Mikol Malamdei, I learn from many teachers. So are you supposed to learn from one teacher or many teachers? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah on page 19 actually discusses this. And the Gemara says the following. Both are true. A person has to have one primary teacher. And that teacher gives you your perspective. That teacher gives you your foundation. That's your bread and butter of your Torah study. And then, after learning and properly developing your way of looking at Torah and your way of studying Torah from one primary teacher, you're able and must learn from many teachers because this teaches you how to think. Ultimately, every one of us has a unique mind. Just as we have unique fingerprints and just as our eyes are unique, everybody's unique. No two people are exactly the same. And because of this, it's impossible for a disciple or student to think exactly as their teacher thinks, even if they're granted the same gift of amplitude and mental acuity. It's impossible for a teacher to study exactly the way their teacher studies. And because of this, invariably, every teacher and every student will have their own unique way of appreciating and understanding Torah concepts. So how do you develop your own potential? If you only learn from one teacher, then you're limited to that perspective. And that will ultimately stymie you because you're not a carbon copy of your teacher. You have your own unique abilities and talents and gifts. And the answer then is that there has to be a little bit of a broadness in developing what the Gemara calls svara. Svara means not just the information, but also how to think, how to analyze. And the analytics and ability to look deeper into something, this comes from many teachers. That is to say, Mikol Malamdei Hiskalti. David HaMelech said, I did not simply rely on one teacher. I said, I had a teacher, taught me Torah, and that's wonderful, but Mikol Malamdei, it was because I used all of my teachers, and because I marshaled all of the wherewithal that was available to me, all of the teaching, all of the Torah study, so this is why Hiskalti, I was indeed became wise, Hiskalti, David HaMelech develops his potential. It always fascinates me how the Rebbe was the most amazing chassid, the greatest chassid really we ever know of, at least when the Rebbe shared with us. His dedication to the Friedrich Rebbe is beyond legendary. And yet, the Rebbe's own teachings are so different than the Friedrich Rebbe's teachings. Vastly different. His maimarim, his chassidic discourses are totally different. His sichas, his informal talks, totally different. And their personalities are so divergent, such different people. And yet the Rebbe was totally devoted to his father-in-law. His Rebbe was the be-all and end-all. It was the ultimate chassid. But when it came to Torah study, there's a unique way of studying Torah, a different way of studying Torah. And you look at the Alter Rebbe's teachings, and you look at the Mittler Rebbe's teachings. It's father and son, very different way of teaching, very different way of expounding. And look at the Tzemach Tzedek, entirely different. They said that the chassidim who finished learning from the Mittler Rebbe after the Mittler Rebbe's passing and they began to hear Maimonides from the Tzemach Tzedek, it was enormously difficult for them to adjust themselves to the new style. It's a totally different style of teaching. And yet each Rebbe was a chassid of the Rebbe before. But when they would teach with their unique stamp, with their unique style, with their unique, what each one brought in a unique fashion to the table. And I think this is what Rashi is alluding to when he says, this is the meaning of David HaMelech's statement, Mikol Malamdei Hiskalti. David HaMelech is teaching us how you develop your wisdom, how you study Torah. How? Mikol Malamdei. Do not limit yourself to one teacher, even though there's Aseh L'Charav. You must listen to many voices and many different approaches in order for you to develop your own potential. Ki et veisecha sicholi. Rashi doesn't really explain this. He says, "Kol sichasi hoisa bahem." My entire focus was on the teaching of Torah. So any interaction I had for me was a lesson. Which, in essence, is to say that David HaMelech said, "I was always learning." Not only when I was in the classroom, life was a classroom. There wasn't an empty moment. At each moment, when it came, what's called sichas chulin, sichan limud. Even the common speech needs to be analyzed and learned from. So for David HaMelech, it wasn't only when he was, so to speak, in formal class mode, learning from a teacher, but Mikol Malamdei Hiskalti, I was able to learn from all of my teachers because Edvesecha Sichali, because every single conversation I had, every interaction, in my eyes, in my mind, was in and of itself a lesson. This is what the Rebbe Rashab once called the concept of Hismasrus, of totally being given over to something. So if you are pursuing wisdom, then you're given over to the pursuit of wisdom. And that everything that happens is singularly focused, the pursuit of wisdom. How will I become wiser from this experience? How will I become wiser from this encounter? This is the approach of Rashi. This is the approach of the Mitzudas David. However, I have to tell you that the Ibn Ezra has a totally different approach. He reads the words, Mikol Melamda Yiskalti, from all of my teachers I became wise, as Yoiser Hiskalti, I became wiser. Wiser, he says, Mikol Melamda, than all of my teachers. How did I do this? Bavur, because Kol Sichosi Hiteroscha, every single conversation I had was about Torah. And he telamadeni yoiser. In other words, if you get the wisdom from your teachers, how can you be wiser than your teachers? You could become as wise as your teachers. How did David HaMelech become wiser? Where did he get the extra wisdom from? He learned from his teachers. So he learned everything from them. How did he become wiser than them? The answer is because for David HaMelech, life was a classroom. Every encounter was a learning experience. So he learned what he could from his teachers, and then he learned from every single person too, or from every situation. And because he learned from every person in every situation, David HaMelech was able to become wiser. And therefore he's teaching us how to get wiser. Very interestingly, the Sepharno says the same thing. He has the same approach as the Ibn Ezra. He says, Mikol Melamdei, Yoiser Mikol Melamdei, more than my teachers, I became wise. And he says, this is the meaning of what says, He shomer lecha, you must guard and watch, pen tishkech zadvarim asharo, lest you forget the things you saw, pen yusur milvavcha. So in other words, he says, Masha hiskalti hoisafti lahaskil. The Sepharno maintains that David HaMelech didn't simply learn the lesson. He learned the lesson and he looked deeper into the lesson. And he tried to see what else could be in this lesson. And because he was looking deeper into each lesson, he was able to find something novel, something fresh. Very good point. That's correct. That's correct. So you have great scientists, and they got the Nobel Prize. They get wiser than the teachers. How'd they get wiser? Because they took everything they received, and then they developed it on their own further. And the secret to that is to realize that everything in life is actually an experience and a teaching. Okay, so we have two divergent approaches over here, two very different approaches. One is, I became wise from all of my teachers. And this follows the idea of the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, where I have one major teacher, but many other teachers, and I became wise because I included and learned from all of them, and learned even from casual encounters. And then the other approach of Rishonim is, no. I became wiser than my teachers because all of life was a classroom. So I would like to talk about these two different approaches, but first, let me present you with something very interesting. Okay, before we go there, I want to augment the teachings of Rashi and Mitzudas David by sharing with you what says in the Medrash Tilim. I'm going to share two Medrash Tilims today. The first Medrash Tilim is from the first Psalm, where it says, David HaMelech says, V'hoye ke'et shosul al palge mayim. I was like a tree planted on waters. So, there's a teaching in the Medrash Tilim, there's quite a bit of teaching on the first Psalm, and this teaching comes from Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, and there's a discussion whether it's Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Not everybody agrees that it's Bar Yitzchak, because there's two Rabbi Shmuels, but Rabbi Shmuel says, what is the meaning of Ahayo Shasul, that David HaMelech was planted, Al Palge Mayim, on water, well-watered areas? He says, Ahayo Shoysel Atzmei Mechabura Lechabura. David HaMelech would implant himself amongst different groups. He would plant himself amongst different groups, lekayim, to fulfill shenemar, that which is later stated in the book of Psalms, mikol melamdei haskalti, I learned from all of my teachers. So David HaMelech wasn't a casual thing only. It was even casual, but it was also formal. He actually went and planted himself. Now, to plant yourself means to sink roots, to pull nourishment, that he went to palge mayim, to different watered areas, to augment his ability to learn by going to different places, by listening to different teachers and different friends, because we know that you'll learn a lot from your teachers, but you'll learn even more so from your peers. So there was a conversation that was ongoing. David HaMelech would look for different peer groups with whom he would discuss Torah. And interestingly, in the Mizmer Tilim, in the Medrash Tilim on Mizmer Kuf Yotes, which is our psalm, David HaMelech emphasizes here, according to the Medrash Tilim, Mikom Olam De'Yiskalti, he says, Tzorech Adam She'yil Le'Chavedim V'Talmidim B'Torah. A person has to have not only teachers, but also good friends, and also pupils. And why is this? Why can't you just learn from teachers? So he says, on a very literal level, Im Shachach Dover Echad, if you forget something, so you ask your friends, what did we learn? Or sometimes even your students can remind you. And he says, this is the meaning of what Shlomo HaMelech says in the book of Ecclesiastics. He says, Toivim Shnayim Min HaEchad, two is always better than one. Why? Because one person heard, maybe how one person heard, according to their limitation. But two, you can always, you're in a group, so you always ask the group afterwards, what did you hear? How did you understand it? How did I understand it? And this is the notion of Mikol Malamdai, of all of my teachers. So here, then, according to the Medrash Tilim, we have an expanded notion. Not only Mikol Malamdai, not only all of my teachers, but my teachers include also my peers, my friends, because a friend is also a teacher. And even Talmidim, even other students with whom you're learning. But all of this is the genre of wise people, people who are learned, people who are engaged in Torah study, be they teachers, peers, or students. And Ibn Ezra is, and Sfarno are talking about the same thing. That's that genre, the genre of people who study Torah. David HaMelech is saying, I got wiser than them. But here is the interesting thing. The interesting thing is that there's a Mishnah in the beginning of the fourth chapter of Pirkei Avot. And the Mishnah is attributed to Shimon ben Zoma, who in the Mishnah is just called ben Zoma because he was a very humble person and never wanted to get any kind of ordination or be recognized as a formal rabbi. Ben Zoma says, Ezehu Chacham, who is wise, Halomed Mikol Adam, who learns from every person. And how do we know this? Shenemar, because it's written, Mikol Malamdai Hiskalti, I learned from all of my teachers. Kied Vesecha Sichali, because your testimonies were conversation for me. So, up until now, I shared with you four major Rishonim, and we went to the Medrash Tilim, and who are we talking about? Who are we learning from? Teachers, other teachers, peers, maybe even students, people who are found within the realm of study. Now, but the Mishnah is telling us, Ben Zoma interpreted this differently. He said, no. Who is wise, halomed? Not mikol melamed, not from every teacher, not mikol chaver, not from every peer, not even mikol talmid, not even from every friend, but rather mikol odom. Really? So, first of all, if Ben Zoma, who is a Tana, learned the pshat mikol odom, then how could the Rishonim learn differently? How could the Rishonim say it's talking about mikol melamdai? If Ben Zoma is interpreting the words mikol melamdai, is everybody is my teacher? It's a Mishnah. Can't go away from a Mishnah. That's number one. And number two, so according to Ben Zoma, he's definitely learning from everybody. Lo made mikol adam. Then how did the Sefarno and the Ibn Ezra end up with the interpretation that they are wiser than the teachers? Mekom alamdai hiskalti, wiser than the teachers. Clearly the Mishnah interprets this as, I'm learning from my teachers, which would follow the approach of Rashi and Mitzvahs. So this bothered me very much initially. How do you work this out? How could the Rishonim say something different than a Mishnah? But I found a teaching from the Maggid of Mizrach. The Maggid says in Ur Torah something very interesting. He says the Mishnah and the Pasuk of Tilim cannot be one and the same. Why not? Because if the Mishnah is the Pasuk of Tilim, so why is it a Mishnah that it's a Pasuk of Tilim? If this is the Pshat in the Mishnah, it's not Ben Zoma Omer. You could say Ben Zoma maybe interprets, but here it's a teaching of Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma said, it's a teaching of Ben Zoma taught us, Ezeu Chacham, who is wise, Halomid Mikol Adam. So before Ben Zoma came along, we didn't know that Ezeu Chacham, Halomid Mikol Adam. Well, 1 second, David HaMelech said this centuries earlier already. It's a Pasuk. So if it's a Pasuk, then it's not a teaching of a Mishnah. And therefore, the Maggid of Mizrach maintained that there is a difference between the pshat of the pasuk and Ben Zoma's teaching. Ben Zoma buttresses his teaching from the pasuk, but the verse, the scripture, has a teaching which speaks about Torah. Good morning, Zelda. How are you? I am fine, Baruch Hashem, thank God. I could disagree with it. Let me repeat that statement. The temple, meaning the Beit HaMikdash, is a model for religious Zionism. I don't know. I don't know that the central tenets of Torah are reflected in religious Zionism. Does that mean that Judaism wasn't complete until 50 years ago? And anybody who's not a religious Zionist is not a practicing Jew? So that's Elazar Malamed's opinion. I would disagree with it. The temple, Zelda, represents the notion of God's presence amongst us. That's a clear verse in the Torah. V'asuli migdash, you make for me a migdash, v'shachanti besochem, God says, I dwell amongst them. That means when we build a Beis HaMikdash as a nation, a Beis HaMikdash is a house which, according to Maimonides, is mokem muchen lekarbonus, the place which is perfectly designed so that we might fulfill the many mitzvot which are associated with Beit HaMikdash. Or according to Nachmanides, the Beit HaMikdash's primary focus is a place to actualize the Shechina, the presence of God. Which means that really all of Yiddishkeit, Zelda, is about Beit HaMikdash. All of Yiddishkeit is about making a dira, a dwelling place for God, betachtonim. And the Beis HaMikdash is the perfect example of that. In the Beit HaMikdash, everything was exactly as Hashem, as Almighty God wanted it to be. Nothing was ever, for a moment, deviant of the will of God. And therefore, the Beis HaMikdash represents the most perfect service of God. We know Kohanim Zrizimim. The Kohanim behaved with tremendous alacrity and great zeal and zest and enthusiasm. And they never missed a single moment. Everything was done exactly as Hashem wanted it to be. So the Beis HaMikdash, the paradigm of the Beis HaMikdash, is the perfection of worship of God. Now, one can worship God in every place and in every situation. As the Torah says, B'chol mokom sha'avo, any place you come, asker shmi overachticha. Any place you will mention my name, God says, I will bless you. And we know that the idea of bracha represents the concept of hamshacha, which means in every place that a Jew is tasked with the sacred duty of actualizing godliness and spiritualizing the reality in which he or she finds themselves. In a wonderful way, we do that in Eretz Yisrael, but we have a mission beyond Eretz Yisrael also. The fact is that we were exiled by God, and you cannot ignore that. And some of the greatest sages of all time did not live in Eretz Yisrael. So they were serving Hashem, they taught an enormous amount of Torah, and they were outside of Eretz Yisrael. We are in an exilic state now. And the reason that we were driven into exile, according to the Medrash, is so that we might collect the sparks which are found all over the world, sparks of holiness, which are redirected and ultimately brought home through our behavior, which is done according to the will of Hashem. And that's what a Beis HaMikdash represents, Zelda. And it's interesting that the Medrash talks about this and the Rishonim expound on it, that a tzaddik, that a truly righteous individual, becomes like a mini Beit HaMikdash. In fact, Rabbeinu Nissen, the Ran, says that a tzaddik, much like the Beit HaMikdash, which could bring out the best from people, when people came to the Beit HaMikdash, and Rabbeinu Nissen, one of the great Rishonim, brings the example of the prophet Jonah, who received his prophecy when he was in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's where, so to speak, the cell tower is most profound, or you have the greatest reception. He says Jonah received prophecy in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't mean that everybody would receive prophecy in the Beis HaMikdash, but everybody would be able to reach their own potential being in the Beit HaMikdash. That's the place where we can function at our highest level of acuity. And he says that tzaddikim have a similar kind of effect. When you're in the presence of a tzaddik, it brings out the best from within you. And Rabbeinu Nissen goes on to say that this is true during the terrestrial lifetime of a tzaddik. And he says that after a tzaddik passes, visiting the resting site, the grave, the tomb, the oil of the tzaddik, functions in like fashion. And therefore he goes on to say that the resting site of tzaddikim is like a Beit HaMikdash. It's a place where a person is able to experience a higher level of spiritual acuity and a greater level of profound attachment and connection to God by developing one's own potential. That's what a Beis HaMikdash says to me, Zelda. I don't even know what this rabbi means. But one has to first define what religious Zionism means. One has to find the notion of religious nationalism. How does that work? I mean, our connection to Eretz Yisrael is because it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, and because when we live in Eretz Yisrael, we're able to fulfill additional mitzvot which are not possible outside of Eretz Yisrael. Well, if that's the subject that tickles your fancy and you want me to comment further, I'll be happy to do so. But I'm going to tell you from the outset that I'm pretty sure that I definitely disagree with that opening statement, and I'm pretty sure that I would disagree with that notion. The important thing for us each, Zelda, to remember is that we all have a sacred duty to illuminate this world with the light of Hashem by studying Hashem's Torah and by performing Hashem's mitzvot. And that is the essence of our existence. And if one can do so in the land of Eretz Yisrael, that's fantastic. And if one, for whatever reason, isn't privileged to live in the land of Eretz Yisrael, then wherever we may be, we all have the duty of making a dwelling place for Hashem. And I think that we have to know that if we make the efforts, we'll always be successful. As the Gemara says, Yogaito Matzasa, only if you make the effort, only then tam and only is it believable. And that is to say, even if you don't see success, you may not know what success is. You may not know what you accomplished. If you give it your best, you give it all you got, we're guaranteed to be successful in fulfilling our mission. And our ultimate hope and prayer is that each and every one of us doing what he or she is tasked with doing in making this world a godly place, that we have the privilege and the joy, Be'ezrat Hashem, in our lifetime of realizing the arrival of the third Beit HaMikdash and welcoming Mashiach, b'mehero b'yameinu speedily, and in our days, amen. Okay. Where were we here? The Maggid. So the Maggid says like this. The Maggid explains, Mikol Malamdai, on a literal level, the Pasuk, the verse is speaking about the study of Torah. That's what this verse speaks about on a literal level. And David HaMelech tells you, Mikol Malamdai Hiskalti, I learned from all of my teachers. This Pasuk then, essentially, is what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is telling us. You have to have a primary teacher, and you listen to all kinds of teachings. And that's how you're able to develop your potential fully. And even if you wish to follow the approach of the Sfarno and the Ibn Ezer, that you can be Mekom Olam De'Eskalti, I can become wiser than my teachers, I still ultimately am talking about the study of Torah. Who do you learn Torah from? You can learn Torah from your teachers. You can learn Torah from your peers in Torah study. You can learn Torah even from the students of Torah. As it says elsewhere in the Mishnah, when we Talmidai, Yoyser Mikulam, you learn the most from your students. When you have to convey a Torah idea and your students ask questions, you learn the most. That's fine. That's about Torah study. Ben Zomar came along in the Mishnah and said that a person who wants to be wise, a chacham, has to learn from every person. And how do we know this? So he leans on the pasuk, Mikom Olam Dehiskalti, Ki Edvesecha Sichali. He leans on the verse that says, that speaks about learning from all teachers. He says, as one can learn Torah from all teachers, one can learn life's lessons from all people. He draws a distinction between learning life's lessons and between learning Torah. That's what the Maggid says. Now really, the Maggid's words are a very strongly rooted in the words of his holy teacher, the Baal Shem Tov. Let me share with you a teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov said, he asked on this Mishnah. He says, what do you mean? Zehu Chacham, Haloi made me kol adam. Who is wise? Who learns from every person? Are there no stupid people? Are there no bad people? We learn from everybody?
Sure.
How do you learn from everybody?
Said
the Baal Shem Tov, that there's different kinds of lessons you learn. Makol malamdei hiskalti. How did the Mitzudas David explain the Pasuk? That a maven davar mitoich davar. You don't learn the subject matter only, but rather the subject matter makes you think. When you think, you peel away layers. And then there's a domino effect. One thing leads to the next. So if we're talking about maven davar mitoich davar, learning one thing from the next, so in that case, a person is able to learn from everybody. What if you see a bad person? I can be maven davar mitoich davar. I can learn from what this person is doing. From that, I can look deeper and I'll be able to learn from it. And indeed, said the Baal Shem Tov, we see that a person, a human being, or neshama, is metaphorized as a lamp. As the famous pasuk that's well quoted, Ner Havaya Nishmas Adam, the lamp of God is the soul of a person. So the Baal Shem Tov said like this, when you look at a lamp that burns, there will always be two things generated by the lamp. What are the two things that the lamp generates? Or two things that light generates?
Light
and heat. And shadows. There's always going to be a shadow. That's why we have diffusers today. We have a diffuser over a bulb to make the light, to diffuse the light properly. But if you look at a lamp, a natural organic lamp, there's always going to be a shadow. Light and shadows. They always come together. Where does the shadow come from? First and foremost, from the lamp itself. The shadow of the candlestick, the shadow of the lamp. The Baal Shem Tov said, the light, that comes from the neshama. The shadow, that comes from the body, from the animal soul. There's a light and there's a shadow. And the Baal Shem Tov said this, we can learn from the light of a neshama what to do. We learn Asei Tov. You see the light of a tzaddik, the light of a righteous person. From this, you know, here's the behavior I should be emulating. What do we learn from a wicked person? Sur Meira. I learn how ugly, how inappropriate, how bad something is, so I know to stay away from it. So I see light, I say, that's the way one should live life. Then I see the shadow that life is casting, or this person is casting. Some people throw a lot of shade. They don't bring much light. So from the shade, I can learn what not to do. And the Baal Shem Tov said that a person has to know that everything is b'hashgacha pratis. Everything is by divine design. And by divine design means that every encounter you have, bar none, every encounter is a lesson. Why did God show this to me today? And the Baal Shem Tov said, really, there's a medrash that says this. The Rabbi Yochanan famously taught, Il moli nitna teir li Yisrael, if the Torah wasn't given to the Jewish people, we would learn gezel, we would learn the prohibition of theft, the inappropriateness of theft from the mullah, from an ant. You know, the ants, they carry these little crumbs, and they never steal from each other. They never steal from each other. If one ant has the crumb, nobody else takes it away. He says we can learn tznius, we can learn modesty from a cat. And the cat wants to clean itself, it goes quietly in a corner. It licks itself clean. It doesn't do these things in public. What does that mean? What does this teaching of Rabbi Yochanan mean? Why would I learn from a cat? Why would I learn from an ant? Why not? If I saw an ant, I should learn something from him. If I saw a cat, I should learn something. Baal Shem Tov said, that's the point. Everything is Hashgacha Pratis. If you were shown a cat, you're being told to learn a lesson from the cat. So if Hashgacha El Yoyne, if divine design, if the supernal providence places a person into a certain situation, so then you have to learn from that situation. And therefore, Ben Zoma says, Ezel Chacham, who is wise, Halomid Mikal Adam. Learn from anybody, from everybody. Here's an amazing take on this from a sicha, from a talk of the Friedrich Rebbe. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, when he first arrived in the United States, that first summer, he shared the following. He said, the Baal Shem Tov taught that Ezehu Chacham, who is wise, what is the meaning of the Mishnah, Lemid Mikal Adam? That the Baal Shem Tov said, and he said in Yiddish, Medaf lernin von yedn einim. You got to learn from everybody. Afilu von Adam Rasha. Even from a bad person, you have to learn a midah tova. Not only what not to do, You could even learn good things. And here the Friedrich Rebbe shares a teaching from the Baal Shem Tov, which goes further. Not just the Sur Meira, but even Asay Tev. How could you learn Asay Tev? That's what the Baal Shem Tov says in the beginning and told us the Baal Shem Tov about Meivin Dover Mitoich Dover. Look deeply into it. And one thing will lead you to the next. And the example that the Friedrich Rebbe brings is from the Tzaddik Reb Zusha from Anapoli, that he said that one has to learn even from a ganaf, even from a thief. What do you learn from a thief? How to steal? You could learn how to steal from him, but that's not what you should learn from him. Why? Said the Friedrich Rebbe, Val yeder id hata oisin Torah. Every yid has a letter in the Torah. And then we know when it comes to learning Torah, we have to expound on the Torah. How does one expound on the Torah? So there's a midah of Yud Gimel Midas Shenidish Bahem. There's one of the 13 hermeneutic principles of Rabbi Yishmael of how we're supposed to expound every letter of Torah. So if every yid has a ot as a letter in the Torah, then we have to learn from that letter in the Torah. How can we learn from it? He's a bad person. He's a rasha. He's a thief. How can you learn from him? The answer is, delve into it. And in Hayom Yom, on the third day of Iyar, the Rebbe goes, quoting over there, a sicha, another sicha of the Friedrich Rebbe, actually bringing out seven things you could learn from a thief. The thief acts with great alacrity, and the thief takes the smallest detail is as important as the biggest detail. And if he fails, he tries again. The thief takes risks and puts himself in danger. All these things we're supposed to do in serving Hashem. So you can learn from anybody, even from a rasha. Not only what not to do, as in don't steal, but in fact, what you should do. But you can't learn exactly from the thief. You have to be Maven Dover, Mitech Dover. But then again, that's what Mitsuda said. He said the Makom Olam Deyiskalti means through learning from one thing to the next. So even when it comes to wisdom, Torah wisdom, you can't just take the wisdom at face value, but you have to delve deeper into it and see what could I learn from it. If I can learn from it, even from a Torah idea, I don't take it at face value, but I look deeper and say, oh, how do I expound on this? How do I develop this? How much more so when we speak about learning from the whole anybody in the world, that I'm not taking it at face value, but I'm saying, what could I learn from that person? If somebody was discourteous, I could learn either what not to do, or I could say, why were they discourteous? They didn't care what others would think about them. So when it comes to something good, I shouldn't care what others will think. If others will mock my observance of Yiddishkeit or say, why do you have to be so focused? This guy didn't care. He was discourteous. So I could be not discourteous, but I could be ambivalent to those who will mock, which is actually the first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch begins with the quote of the Tana, Yehuda ben Taim Eimer, that a person, don't be fazed by those who might laugh at you. The Friedrich Rebbe in Likute de Burim, he says something very interesting about this Mishnah. The Mishnah, Ben Zoma said, Ezeu Chacham. He said, who is a wise person? And he said, a wise person learns from everybody. Said the Friedrich Rebbe, that to learn, you don't have to be a chacham. To learn, you have to be a human. And the Friedrich Rebbe said that learning is an intrinsic part of being a human being. A human being learns lessons. That's what human beings do. And he says, a person who doesn't learn lessons from life is simply not functioning like a human being. So an animal doesn't learn lessons. Why should he? He's not smart enough to learn lessons. What should a person do? Every mistake you make is a lesson. A normal human being, after he makes a mistake and suffers the consequences, has learned the lesson and won't do it again. That's human. That's not wise. That's self-understood. So a chacham is a person who looks at each individual and says, what could I learn from that person? What could I learn from that person? Not kind of what I learn. I'm always learning something. What can that person teach me? So Friedrich Rebbe went on to say that the virtue of the chacham then is rooted in the notion of the concept of humility. Because the word chachma means to be humble. Chachma is a conjunction of two Hebrew words, koyach ma. It means sense of nothingness. The person says, I should learn from that person. He's going to be a teacher for me. That's beneath my dignity. But the chacham is a person who's totally focused on wisdom. So he doesn't care where he gets the wisdom from. If I can get wisdom, I'll take it from wherever I can learn it from. Because I'm not looking about, this is not about my dignity, or what's beneath my dignity. This is not about standing on ceremony. This is about what's my goal. My goal is to learn. So if my goal is to learn, anywhere the lessons are available from, I'm happy to become a student of it. And therefore, the humility that accompanies this makes one a chacham. Of course, you could ask me the question, if he didn't learn yet, or maybe if he's just still learning, how is he already called a wise person? Is he a chacham? Maybe you should say shalomad, one who learned, not shalomid. So the Rishonim talk about this. Rabbeinu Yonah and the Maharal of Prague say that the chacham is not somebody who has acquired wisdom past tense, but rather chacham is a person who is acquiring wisdom. Just like the Rebbe Rashab once said, a ganef is not somebody who once upon a time stole something. A ganef is a person who steals. So if a person walks in who has sticky hands, a kleptomaniac, they say, watch out, he's a kleptomaniac. Why should I watch out? Oh, because 40 years ago he stole something. Oh, a lot of kids do stupid things when they're teenagers. Because he once was a shoplifter, therefore I have to be afraid today? We say, no. He's not once was a shoplifter. This is a guy who takes things. They have a problem. Watch your possessions. So the chacham is a person who's learning, always learning. That's the definition of a chacham. He may not be a wise person. He's wise in that the chacham is always learning from every situation. And the Me'iri says, even if he's not wise yet, the fact that he's ready to learn from everybody indicates a certain humility, and that you can call him a chacham because he will be a chacham. Even if it's not yet a chacham, a person that has that approach will be a chacham. So he says the Mishnah calls him chacham al shem seifei because of where he will go. At any rate, so we have a Mishnah, but we see that the Mishnah and the actual pasuk are not saying exactly the same thing. Having said this, however, we ultimately can understand the way the Rishonim explain this in both ways. We could say, Mikom alam de yiskalti, I became wiser from my teachers because I learned from every teacher. Or we could say, I became wiser than my teachers because I didn't suffice what the lessons that came at face value, but I kept looking. I kept delving deeper. And it was nothing that was beneath my dignity in the acquisition of the wisdom. I didn't stop. I didn't exhaust myself. I continued to look, like the Rebbe Rashab says in Teira Shalom, his masros. It's the idea of total commitment, total dedication, ongoing pursuit of wisdom and knowledge. Now here's the interesting thing. The key, because edvoisecha sichali, because your testimonies are conversation. So we know that testimonies is a terminology of the Torah, but in Psalm 119, David HaMelech also oftentimes uses the idea of chukim. So why do we end up with testimony specifically? Why not chukim? Why not mishpatim? There are three names that he used for mitzvahs. There are statutes, chukim, there are mishpatim, ordinances, and there are testimonies. Why was the emphasis here on testimonies? Very interestingly, the Chazat Zion says that sometimes it says edoisecha, and sometimes it says edvoisecha. There is a vav inserted. So the Chazat Zion says the vav is inserted here because we're supposed to learn from creation, from God's creation, from the world. And God's creation was created in 6 days. Vav is six. So that's edvoisecha sichali, because in all of creation, I always found a lesson here. Now the question is, why is that the key? You could say, because torascha sichali, because your Torah was always a conversation. Why testimonies? So for here we have an amazing explanation from our Rebbe. This comes from a sicha, from a talk of the Rebbe on Gimel Talmud in 1985. And the Rebbe said like this. The Rebbe said that when we talk about the idea of edus, edus brings to mind the concept of a witness. What's unique about the situation with a witness? Let's say somebody tells you they saw something. Whatever it might be. Do you say, are you smarter than me? How did you see that? How come I didn't see that? What's the answer? I wasn't there. You happen to see it. Well, how come I'm not aware of that? For whatever reason, this person happened to see it. When you talk about testimony, does it matter the level of mental acuity? Does it matter the level of scholarship? Does it matter the level of piety? Does any of that matter when it comes to something as simple as testimony? No. Testimony focuses on the matter of fact. And therefore, the Rebbe said, why did and how did David HaMelech become wise? Because he was humble enough to learn from everybody. But how could you learn from everybody? If you're smarter, how would you learn from them? And the answer is, well, they happen to know something. They happen to see something. So if they happen to know or see something, it makes no difference who they are. It makes no difference how wise they are or aren't. What makes a difference is they happen to be aware of this. They saw it. See, Advesecha Sichli, the Rebbe says, emphasizes the concept of the fact that this was seen by that person. And because this person saw that, I can learn from them. And that's how David HaMelech became wise. By knowing that somebody didn't have to be wiser than he to have information he didn't have. And it's very interesting that in the Bartanura's version of the Mishnah, he takes out the words in the Mishnah. He says, Ben Zay Meimer, that Mezeo Chacham, who is wise? Alaymid Mikol Adam. And because it says, Mikom Alam De'eskalti. And he doesn't conclude the rest of the pasuk. The Bartanura in his commentary says, Ki Ed Veisecha Sichali, but in the Mishnah proper, it doesn't include it. In the Alter Rebbe Siddur, where Pirkei Avos, of course, is printed because we recite the Pirkei Avot on Mincha, after Mincha in the summer Shabbatot, there the Alter Rebbe's version says, Ben Zayma Omer Azeo Chacham Alaymid Mikol Adam, Shenemar, who is wise, one who learns from every person, because it's written, Mikom Olam De'eskalti, from all my teachers I learned, Ki Ed Veisecha Sichali. According to the Bartanura, the second half of the Pasuk is not part of the Mishnah. According to the Alter Rebbe, the second half of the Pasuk is part of the Mishnah. Why? Because that's the point. That's the point. And whether you follow the approach of Rashi saying that David HaMelech became wise from all his teachers, because it didn't matter who the person was, what mattered was somebody saw something. You saw something? I want to hear what you saw. I want to hear what you became aware of. It didn't matter who. Or you could say, according to the Ibn Ezra's approach, became wiser than my teachers, because again, it didn't matter who. What mattered was what. And that emphasis of what is best seen, not in the idea of mishpatim or chukim, but the notion of edus, which fits very nicely with the words of the Chazatzian, looking at creation as witness itself. The truth is that we are called to witness the idea of 6 days of creation. By keeping Shabbos, we witness this concept. But this ultimately represents the idea of divine design. Witnessing 6 days of creation and resting on Shabbos calls to the notion that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and that this is an ongoing process. And a person lives with that consciousness. When you live with the notion that God is at each and every moment engaged with creation, and therefore everything becomes a testimony to God's presence, and every human being becomes a testimony to that, I can learn from every single person. Doesn't matter who the person is. And then the pasuk makes so much sense now. That's the key. The key, because et veisecha, because precisely because we spoke about testimony. And this could be, of course, in two ways. This could be, as we said, that you become wise from all your teachers, because it didn't matter who the teacher was. What mattered was they had a testimony to give. Or it becoming even wiser than the teachers, and that has almost like an eye already to Ben Zoma's teaching, because I was learning from everybody. Because at Veisecha Sichali, because everything was a lesson. Everything, a testimony was available, and sometimes it wasn't apparent. How did you become wiser? Because I kept looking into their words, and what was behind their words, and the reality that it represented. And be maven dover, meter dover, to develop the idea, this is how David HaMelech was able to become, so to speak, wiser than the teachers, even who taught him that individual wisdom. And the Richiyun, Abarbanel's teacher, he says, he brings, really kind of pulls together both Rashi and the Ibn Ezra. He says, Lo lamadati merav echad. I didn't only learn from one teacher, but rather I made sure to have a broad application. But he says, Miroiv limud. It was not from learning from, not being a disciple, but from limud, from learning, being a person of learning, always wanting to learn, that Ivanti, I was able to understand even more so than my teachers themselves. And this is something which is a responsibility for every one of us. You asked before, David HaMelech was so busy. He was a monarch and a political leader, and he had all this on his plate, and yet he made time to learn. So does any one of us have an excuse? We have to live a life of learning. You have to want to learn from every situation. And you have to want to believe and see that there is a spark of God and a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu within every person and in every situation. And not only to learn what not to do, but even when you're looking at something negative, you could learn something positive from that. The Rebbe once spoke about an event that had unfolded in Washington, D.C. in 1979 during the disastrous Camp David Accords. And he said that there was an Israeli delegation who came, and it was a state dinner, and everybody ate. But the Muslims who were present, who are terrible anti-Semites, we know this. We know from things they said. They hated Jews with every fiber of their being, this particular group of people. But the Rebbe said he could learn a lesson from them. They said, we're devout Muslims, we don't eat this. It's not halal. And they refused to eat. The Rebbe said, what a shame. How sad was this? The members of Am Yisrael said, well, you know, it's the president, you have to. And they ate. And he said, who had the backbone, the spine to stand up and say, sorry, we don't do that. Our enemies. So we learned, the Rebbe said, you can learn a lesson from our enemies. And the Rebbe invoked this verse of Mekom Olam De'Yiskalti. Ki Ed V'Sicha Sichli. He says, everybody has a lesson to teach. So it could be the worst of people, you can learn something from them. Maybe the fact that they're not ashamed. Maybe the fact that they stick to their guns. Maybe the fact that they don't back down. Everybody has a mila somewhere. It could be the mila of the virtues being used in a grotesque way, in an ugly way, in a horrible way, in a hurtful way, but it's still a virtue. And in doing so, when a person learns those lessons, not only what means Tillim is learning Torah. You can't learn Torah from everybody. But as the Maggid says, you can learn Musarim, you can learn ethics from everybody. You understand that it's learning Torah. Torah you learn from every teacher of Torah. Anybody has Torah information. And that spills over in the Mishnah and expands into learning lessons of life from everybody, then a person can become truly wise, as was David HaMelech. And with this, we'll conclude. Although we go into the next verse, we'll talk about learning from elders. So inasmuch as there is an emphasis on learning from everybody, there still has to be an emphasis on learning from elders, because there is an equality here in verse 99, but that equality does not, chas v'shalom, preclude the superiority of whose lessons you learn, as we will see Bezrat Hashem in our next class. Thank you. Yafer.